Catch up on all the live shows right here on africatechradio.com.
You're welcome to Cruise Control on Africa Tech Radio with me, Day Daniel. And it is Ramadan. It is a sacred month for Muslims worldwide. And this is because it is marked by fasting and spiritual reflection. And we recognize that the challenges that fasting can pose on one's health and well-being. And that's why today we have Dr. Zuleika Maruf with us to share some valuable tips on maintaining good health during this period without sacrificing wellness. Good morning, Dr. Zuleika.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very fine. Thank you. What about you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. So Dr. Zuleika is a medical practitioner and she's also a mental and sexual reproductive health advocate. And she has kindly joined us today to give us valuable tips on how we will stay healthy during this period of Ramadan. First and foremost, Doctor, how do you think that fasting affects people during Ramadan?
Okay, that's a very good question. And I'm glad you asked that question because my discussion will basically be around, you know, the challenges that come through while we're fasting. And then considering that Ramadan fasting is a type of dry fast rather than a wet fast. So the common challenges that would, you know, usually pop up, you know, during fasting is the first, which is very common, is dehydration. Because, you know, while you're fasting, you're not allowed to take water, food, whatever. So it's a dry fast compared to like the wet fast where, you know, the aim is just to lose weight. Some people take water, but during Ramadan, we don't take water. So dehydration is one first challenge that people would, you know, encounter. Fatigue will follow. I mean, when you're dehydrated, your body's asking for water. You easily get tired. And another thing is nutritional detriment that could, you know, follow along the line of a fast if one doesn't manage his health properly.
So apart from this dehydration and the nutritional detriment, what are some common health problems that we can face and how can they be fixed?
Okay, so aside from the dehydration, the fatigue, tiredness, nutritional detriments that could arise, another common, you know, health issue that one could face is somebody that already has some sort of comorbidity, such as, for example, diabetes, someone that has ulcer, someone that has hypertension. You know, while fasting, one major thing that could happen is it could aggravate their symptoms. Let's say, for example, someone that is diabetic, that is on insulin or whatever medication for his diabetes and is fasting, that could, you know, worsen the hypoglycemic state. Because while you're using your medication, which is essentially to bring down the blood sugar, and then you are also fasting, that would, you know, worsen and, you know, kind of like bring down the blood sugar way more. And then, you know, the person can come down with way worse symptoms of hypoglycemia, come down with seizures, fainting, coma, and thereabouts. For example, let's even take someone that has ulcer, for example, and you're, you know, fasting for a very long time. Well, the thing about it is that because it's Ramadan and because it has time restraints, its health benefits more than its health detriment. However, people that fast for longer hours, like, for example, you're doing a dry fast for over 24 hours and thereabouts, then you can talk about health detriment per se. Then they could, you know, come down with being cachexic. I mean that they kind of have lean muscle mass. Yeah. They're coming down with tiredness. They're coming down with low energy. So many detriments to it. However, for Ramadan, it's more of a health benefit than the detriment. I think, you know.
Yes.
Sums it up a little.
Okay. Can you give us some health benefits of fasting?
Okay. I mean, one major health benefit is that while fasting, you are actually, you know, forcing your body to generate energy from your own body system outside the food that you consume. So it's like you're tasking your body to do something. And so there's this common adage of when you don't use it, you lose it. So Ramadan has just called in to tell your body to use it. So basically what the body does is that it kind of like shuts down the excessive whatever that is happening over time during the body, and now you're tasking your system to do more. So one thing you know, major health benefit that you get from fasting, for example, is that the body would try to, like I said, to try to generate energy outside the food source. So that means your body will be going into the banks of its fatty acids, for example, going to the banks of protein, the likes, to generate this energy. So while doing that, it's a very good way to lose weight. It's a very good way to clear your body system of cholesterol. So you find that even as doctors, we do prescribe fasting, we call it, intermittent fasting, wet fasting. There are ways we, you know, prescribe this fasting so that we could help our patients to lose weight. That's one major thing. There's something we call autophagy in medicine, and basically when, you know, the cell is trying to recuperate, it's trying to regenerate itself. So we find out a lot, and while fasting, our body undergoes this autophagy, that is renewal of cells, you know, because it's working on its own, it's regenerating cells. So at the end of the day, it's all together to bring, you know, betterness to the health, because you're cutting down on excesses and your cell is regenerating. So at the end of the day, you're having a very good health. Altogether.
Thank you very much, Doctor. So, with these benefits of Ramadan and fasting in general, what do you think are some easy ways for us to stay healthy during this time?
Okay. So, I'll just quickly like to go back to the challenges that we talked about earlier, like the quick and common challenges that, you know, people face during fasting. I think I was initially going to say that people that had comorbidities like ulcers, like hypertension, it could worsen if they don't, you know, take good care of their health while fasting. So that's why it's important for them to actually, you know, see their doctor, you know, get an adjustment of their dosing, know how to go around while their fasting schedule and their dosing, their medication and all of that. However, since we already know that while you're fasting, you could have dehydration, tiredness can follow, you could have some nutritional detriment. So we actually want to target, you know, these three common things that happen, and then also look at the other hand of those people that have comorbidities and how we can help them during this Ramadan fasting. So one major thing I'll talk about is the dehydration. You see, when we're fasting, like I said, Ramadan, for example, is a type of dry fast and not a wet fast. Because, you know, when we do wet fasting, you're fasting, but you're just cutting your carbs, you're cutting your the kind of food, you're kind of like having restraint in the food you're eating. In Ramadan, we are actually not taking anything from dawn to, you know, sunset. So I would advise that we should, you know, stay very hydrated. Make sure you stay hydrated during Ramadan. And how do we stay hydrated during Ramadan? Okay, so basically I was saying that dehydration was one major challenge that come during this Ramadan, and it's very important to stay hydrated. And I was going to tell us how to stay hydrated considering the fact that we are fasting. So we're not allowed to take anything in from dawn to sunset. So then how do we stay hydrated? So that was why I was saying that to stay hydrated, it's a stepwise manner. You have to do it from the time that you break your fast till the time that you start fasting again. So you're not supposed to just say, oh, I want to stay hydrated. So when I'm about to take my sahur, for example, so I take a lot of water at once. No, that's not advisable, because at that point in time, you're actually diluting your system of water, and you might not even really get the effect. Or you say, oh, when I'm done fasting, I just want to take a whole lot of water to, you know, saturate my system and get my system back to normal. No, that won't really work. So how do you stay hydrated? Of course, we know that what is the average amount of water that one is supposed to take? You might be looking like 3 liters to 5 liters daily. So how do you achieve that? All you do is that you take 500 mils of water. I think that's easily calculated in Nigeria. The sachet water, kind of look at whatever the content of water you're taking. You go, oh, is this 500 mils? Oh, okay, so how do I take it? And you can take that over an hour, take it in gradually, and then take it in consecutively, like then you take it in a stepwise manner, because you have from, for example, say you break your fast around 7 p.m. So you have from that 7 p.m. to the following morning. Just make sure that you binge your water taking in. You take it gradually, you take it, you know, so you make sure that at the end of the period of you know, while you're not fasting, you've taken a lot of water, almost around like 3 liters, 4 liters, 5 liters, just as your body mass, because, you know, the requirements depends on one's body mass, the age, the sex, and all of that. So you look at it that, oh, I think I'll drink more. I'm okay this way. So you take it day like that till the following morning. So you try to stay hydrated. Make sure you stay hydrated during this fasting. And another thing I was going to say was the fatigue and tiredness, because of our work, looking at the country, our country, Nigeria. it's a whole lot of hustling and bustling, the stress and everything. So it's easy to get tired, considering that our body's trying to generate energy outside food. So we're tasking our body system to increase its metabolism. And so it's important that we look for a very, should I say, tactical way to combat the tiredness. And because, I mean, you can't give excuse because you have other colleagues in the business doing whatever they're doing. You don't come to office and say, oh, I'm tired because I'm fasting. No, I don't think they're going to take that as an excuse. And so you want to know, oh, what's the tip to make sure that I stay healthy, I stay fit while I'm fasting. Like I said, stay hydrated. And another important thing is for you to, you know, avoid tiredness, what kind of food do you eat while you're taking your sahur matters? Because, for example, for someone that is doing an intermittent fasting, say like on a keto diet or something like that, the aim of that particular fasting is to reduce weight, is to lose weight. And so we put them on diets such as maybe fatty foods, high content of fatty foods, little protein and less carbohydrates. That's what the keto diet is about. And so what the keto diet does is that it will allow the protein to feel full while you're actually having just fat, you know. And then one, I think I should tell us that the major fuel that our body uses to generate energy is actually carbohydrates, but it can generate it from protein and generate it from fats. Once after carbohydrates is exhausted, the next thing is to jump into your fat stores. And then from there, you jump into the protein cells. And then that's why someone that is fasting over time can eventually lose weight first, then lose his body mass, because, you know, body mass generated from protein. So at the end of it, you say, oh, this thing is taken from the stores that I already have. So I was just trying to tell us that for someone, for example, that is an intermittent fasting, we prescribe keto diets for them because the aim of that fasting is to lose weight.
Yeah.
However, Ramadan is different because the aim of Ramadan is spirituality, not to lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to maintain our health while we're fasting. We want to be fit. And so the kind of diets that we'll take while fasting during Ramadan, we actually want to look at it closely. So it's not far-fetched, actually. It's basically what we do every day. But we just make sure that while we're fasting in Ramadan, we want to make sure that our diet is balanced.
Yeah.
Basically, it's balanced. What do we mean by balanced food? Basically, you make sure that when you're eating, you have carbohydrates in your food. When you're eating, you have protein in your food. You have fat and oil, you know. So let's give an example of a food that contains everything. You have carbohydrates, for example, someone that takes oatmeal or grains like rice, that's carbohydrates.
Yeah.
You're taking rice, you're adding your protein, fish, you know, whatever kind of oil that you use in producing or making your food. At the end of the day, you have that with it. You could put a cup of milk by the side. You could put fruit juice by the side. You know, you could put fruits by the side. Just make sure that you're taking a balanced ration. And most importantly, while eating during sahur, make sure your portion should be a little and not too much. Because what happens when you're taking too much food? So now you're taking a balanced food and you're also considering the quantity of food that you're taking, because at the end of the day, whatever decision you're making while you're eating at that particular point in time will determine what kind of energy you have over time during the day. Now, for example, somebody that says, oh, I'm fasting, I need to take a lot of food at once. What you're doing at that particular point in time, while you're taking that much amount of food, is that you are making your system, once you consume that large amount of food, first of all, like I said, you're going to be fasting. So that means your body would be generating its own energy by itself. So that means you're telling your body to do more work by digesting that food. First of all, that means your body will be doing more work digesting the food. You're increasing the metabolism of your system. And there's something that we call emptying syndrome. Emptying syndrome basically means that when you take a large amount of food once, you know, you consume a large amount of food, the body would, you know, excrete that large amount to digest and excrete that large amount of food faster than somebody that is taking the food in bits, in a smaller quantity. Because it's almost like you're tasking your system to do more. And so once there's a lot of carbohydrates coming into the system, there's a gush release of insulin. And so that will work faster and digest the food faster. So you find out that somebody that even ate a whole large amount of food will get hungry easier than somebody that just took something that was at a minimal range, something that was just, you know, a balanced ration of food. So while you're eating, most importantly, pay attention to what you're eating and pay attention to the quantity of food you're taking. Take minimal ration of food. Take the normal amount of food that you eat. Don't take excesses. Take the food that is not too heavy. You could take cereals. You could make sure it's balanced. Whatever you're going to put by the side, you could take cereals. You could take rice. You could take grains and all of that. And then I really advise us to stay away from fiber while we are actually fasting. Like in the beginning, you could break with fiber, for example, yam, but you don't want to start your fasting with fiber. If you understand what I'm saying,
yes.
Meaning that, for example, if you're taking fiber, one thing that fiber does. You know, when somebody, for example, is say you're not passing out feces well, or maybe we say and you also want to lose weight kind of thing. Fiber is the kind of food that makes you feel full, first of all, but then it also increases the bowel movement. Your bowel will be moving faster. So sometimes we say take oranges, because orange itself is fiber. A lot of fiber diets that we have around. So you try to avoid fiber, because first of all, when you take fiber, it's not a lot of fuel that is coming in fiber. And then the body is going to be doing much energy, increasing your own digestive system. It will be working overtime. And so at the end of the day, you're putting a lot of water from your body system into that fiber, because that's what the fiber does. It pulls a lot of water into it, and then there's increased digestion, and then the person will be able to pass his feces and whatever the case may be. So, but now you're actually fasting. You want to really stay away from fiber while you're taking your sahur, but you could take it definitely while you're breaking your fast. So, your diet, whatever you're taking in the morning, and the ration of food that you're taking at a particular time, really, really has a lot of role to play in your tiredness and your fitness during the day. So that being said, I will just cross over quickly to the nutritional detriment. Like I said, during Ramadan fasting, we are actually dry fasting for a period of time. There's a restraint in our time. We're not doing this for over 24 hours. We're not doing this for 72 hours, as the case may be. We're only doing this for a period of, say, 12 to 18 hours or whatever country that you are, So it actually is a restraint there, and so it's more of the benefits than the detriment. However, because some people don't know how to, like I said, we just talked about how we're going to consume our food, the ration of food that we're going to take. Some people don't know that while you're fasting, your body is actually generating energy from your fat store. It's actually generating energy from your protein store. So you want to actually replenish. You want to actually also work on your fruits, your vitamins, your minerals. You want to make sure that you have them in balanced ration, just so that you have to potentiate your system, so that your body has something to rely on while you're fasting. So basically, nutritional value, you make sure that you're eating balanced rations, make sure you're taking a lot of fruit, make sure you're taking a lot of water, because water is one important vitamin, one important nutrient that's in the body. Fruit, water, balanced ration, basically, is how to go about it. And I would just like to sprinkle some little things on it. And that is the fact that for those of us that like to exercise, take coffee, there's, should I say, a little gap window of what we should do while we are fasting. For example, someone that exercises regularly. Now, when you're fasting, one thing that you would like to do is to cut down on that exercise. For example, it depends on the kind of exercise you're doing. If you're doing an overwhelming exercise, maybe you're doing cardio, you're doing some muscle training, weightlifting and all of that, you really want to cut down on that and do some more of aerobic exercises. There are exercises you could just in your room, do some mat press ups and push ups or whatever the case may be. Not too much. You can't be doing too much while you're fasting, like I said, because your body is going to be asking for, it's going to be trying to generate energy from your body. But when you've already exhausted that energy in the morning, you'll be left tired, during the day. Not to say you shouldn't exercise during fasting. You can, but you have to limit your exercises. Make sure they're not, overly the place, and you're sweating and, stressing all yourself all over the place. And because we're all workers, some people take coffee, some people, it's their routine to take coffee in the morning. But we need to, pay attention to the quantity of coffee we take while fasting. If you're already used to taking coffee, it won't be easy to say, just cut out your coffee and don't go with it while fasting. However, you can reduce the quantity of coffee that you're taking, because what coffee does for us normally is that it kind of stimulates our body system to work faster. It stimulates our sympathetic system, says metabolism common, it pushes the food up and, you know, our body starts firing at a go. That's what caffeine does. And when it does that, your metabolism is faster, everything is faster, you're very alert and everything like that. But while you're fasting, let's take, for example, you take the same amount of caffeine, for example, that's your coffee. When you take that in, it's going to do the same thing because it doesn't know whether you're fasting or not. However, when you're not fasting, your body has something that it is working on. It has a food reserve that it's going to work on from the beginning of the day to the end of the day. And then you keep on eating, you keep on binging. And when you feel hungry, you're taking something. But while you're fasting, you don't have that luxury. So imagine you're taking your coffee now and then, you know, just your stimulation starts, your metabolism is high on the hop. It will work for you earlier in the day, but what you would, you know, eventually have at the end of the day, maybe while in the afternoon, close to the evening, so you're already getting tired. And I don't know what your work schedule is. Maybe the evening is even when you need to stay more alert. Who knows? So, you know, when you're already very alert in the morning and then in the evening, you're already tired. I mean, what's not the point of taking that coffee? So it's better, even if you take coffee, if your body is already used to taking coffee, you want to really reduce the dose of the coffee that you take. And then because of some people might then have ulcer or something like that, that means ulcer is basically ulceration in the stomach. And then that could be due to so many causes, Helicobacter, stress, and so many other causes. So taking coffee, for example, would also increase the stimulation, increase the emptying time and all of that, and then even worsen the ulcer while fasting. So you want to look at all of these things while fasting. You consider them, and then it will help you to make a better choice and stay healthy. I'll talk about the people with comorbidities, such as diabetes, people with hypertension, ulcer, and all that. I initially said that they should please try to check in with their doctor. Not to say that you can't fast. Definitely you can't fast, because if you're going to say, oh, because I can't fast for them. Of course, some patients that you wouldn't allow to fast. First of all, you should even see your doctor to know whether you can fast or not. You shouldn't be the one determine, oh, I can fast. Oh, I'm better. Of course. Oh, if the blood sugar is well controlled, you're on a regimen that controls your blood sugar very well. Of course, I'm sure when you see a doctor, he might tell you, oh, it's good to fast. However, this is how we go about it. This is your dosing, because you're not going to be eating from this hour to this hour. We're going to reduce the dose of your drugs. Oh, you don't take it at this time. Exactly. Take it now at this time. And, you know, things like that will come in here, in and out, you know. When you're discussing with your doctor, they are the best to tell you how to go about it. Someone that has an ulcer, definitely plan your make sure you take your drug. First of all, it depends on how severe your ulcer is. If it's something that you've treated over time and then you just know that, oh, it's still healing or something, you might want to take a back seat and, you know, just relax a little for this one. But you want to make sure that you're not just going to just take a whole lot of water. Because when you're taking a whole lot of water initially, the first thing that you're doing is that you're washing that your stomach. You know, when you're just pouring water, you're washing the lining of your stomach straight up with water. And so that's even at that point in time, you can aggravate the ulcer symptoms. So you probably want to start taking in milk or taking in things that are just so friendly to the stomach. Don't take in, for example, you say, oh, because I want to take fruits. You're now the one that is taking orange and all of that. No. Yet you can't be taking that, because those ones contain citric acid and the acid can even erode the stomach more. So you really want to take that, take dates, take milk, take things that are friendly to your stomach. Since you know your body system, the more you will know the kind of things that are friendly to your stomach and not. And then you don't want to take fiber, like, for example, because fiber would have this ashness and then kind of corrode to the stomach the more. So you want, you know, stay a little bit away from fiber, like yam and all that. But then you could take grains and make sure you chew a lot, chew well, and you don't. So, you know, these things are relative, actually, because sometimes when you see a doctor, I'll be like, oh, no, you cannot fast. Oh, no, you can't fast. Oh, no, you can't fast. But if, you know, I'm seeing you and I know I've assessed you and, oh, you're good enough to fast. You can't fast if it's for this particular amount of time. Oh, go ahead and fast. And then I'll just give you tips on how to go about it so that you stay healthy while doing so. Somebody that is hypertensive, for example, you need to always, you know, take your medication. And then we know that, oh, this medication is going to bring down my blood pressure. So what do I do? I tell you, oh, you're going to make sure that if you were taking it twice a day before, oh, you can take it this time, or you can take it this time. Make sure you take enough water. Make sure you do this and that and that. And then all of those things come in and out while, you know, the same patients. And these are tips that is really important for those that have those conditions, and then they should really, you know, pay attention to it. Just to put some tips on it, And another thing would be to maintain our oral hygiene, because I mean, while we're fasting, it's a dry fast, we're easily dehydrated.
Yes.
You know, the saliva in our mouth is drying up. You've done a lot for the day, and I'm like, oh my goodness. And then you're talking to your colleague, I'm like, oh my goodness, you're fasting all that. Yes. So another good thing to do, like I said, some people while fasting, because it's Ramadan, they might stay out of timing while you know, trying to prepare their sarah, and they forget to brush their teeth or whatever the case may be. But we should just make it a priority that we must brush our teeth, and then even afterwards, morning and night, morning and evening, try to do that regularly, and then you see that, you know, your oral hygiene will be clean. And then make sure you talk a lot. You see, this is saliva. The way I'm talking, I'm generating more saliva. What saliva is doing, it's cleansing my mouth. Yeah, because it contains some sort of enzymes. Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was doing. So it contains enzymes that help us break down so many particles. In fact, they're corrosive to microorganisms and all that. And by the way you're talking, you don't just say, oh, because I'm fasting, you just keep looking and keep looking. No. You engage yourself, engage your mind. Even while another important thing to even stay healthy or stay fit is to engage one's mind. Just make sure that when you're fasting, you're doing something. You just, because you're fasting, you just sit back and then you sleep all through the day. That's going to be good for your health. You do some little exercises that are not too, you know, overwhelming. You engage your mind, read some books, talk to your friend, you know, go out, do some things, and, you know, at the end of the day, you stay healthy. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
And as we, I think that's good work.
Thank you very much. And as we round up, I just want you to tell us the best ways, as you are a mental health advocate, the best way to manage stress during this period.
Okay. So one very good way to manage stress during period, like I said, is to, first of all, know the things that, you know, bring in stress, and then you try to avoid it. So once you know what your problem is, you already have the solution. So if, for example, you know that, oh, during the day, this is what I do that stress me out. I usually take this route, you know, you will probably want to cut down on that. First of all, you know, take out the underlying factor of your stress. Take it out, maybe too. And then after you do that, then another thing is to engage one's mind. You know, take, it's called a distraction, kind of a distraction theory. You know, when you have something that is distracting you, it will kind of like take away your stress. Even fasting itself is some sort of stress on the system. So you have to distract your mind from whatever the situation is. And then, aside from engaging your mind, taking a lot of water and all of that, just passive ways to relieve one's stress, basically.
Thank you very much, Dr. Zuleika. Thank you for joining us. I believe that everybody has heard what you have said, and they will use these tips to stay healthier and better during Ramadan. It's been a pleasure having you. Thank you very much. And as Rubas will say, a cool bell.
Thank you.
Have a lovely rest of the day.
All right. Thank you, everyone. Ramadan Mubarak. Bye.
And that is all they have for you at Afro Shuffle today. Do not forget to follow us on all social media platforms.
Thanks for listening. And don't forget to catch up on all the live shows right here on AfricaTechRadio.com.